Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello, this is... What is that sound I'm hearing? You mean we're going phone fishing today? It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. This is Wretched Radio. It is Witness Wednesday, and we thought we'd try this wacky idea, actually going out in the streets and phone fishing. If you've never heard this before on a Wretched Radio, we have fishers out in the street who walk up to complete strangers, basically hand them a cell phone. Okay, they duct tape it to their head, and then we witness to them whether they like it or not.
They put a hook in their mouth. That's what we do.
And right now, our dear friend Trish is in Dallas, Texas, or maybe Fort Worth for that matter, somewhere doing something. Okay, where are you, Trish?
I'm at the Northeast Mall, which is in, you know, the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's really hot outside, so we're standing in the sun, and I've got a gentleman named Ty who's been so kind because his friend Gene is ready to, like, totally ditch us. But Ty's a sport. He's ready to go on. He's Catholic, wasn't raised Catholic, converted to Catholicism because some of his friends are Catholics. He's not sure where he's going to go if he were to die. He thinks maybe heaven, and that's Ty.
Wow, you don't hear that too often, people converting to Catholicism.
Hold on, my fish is leaving me.
No,
hold
don't run it. Just get the phone.
Ty, here, I'm putting you on right this second. Don't leave me.
Okay, great, go.
Hello?
Hey, Ty. Hey, thanks for being a good sport. Ty, I got some personal questions for you. What scares you in life?
I guess dying.
Is that all?
Well, afraid of flying and then dying.
Yeah, I've been on planes where people say, "See, you scared of flying?" I say, "I'm not. I'm just scared of crashing. It's not the flying that's the worry."
Yeah, pretty much.
So is it the experience of death? Because there's not too many nice ways to die except drowning in cereal. Or is it what comes after death that worries you?
Well, it's the after, because you just never know. It just depends on what religion you follow.
Are you in the right religion? Are you confident that you're going to make it to heaven?
Well, that's the thing, you know. I mean, I don't kill nobody. I don't steal or anything. So
you don't steal?
No. Well, I steal, but it's not like go bank rob you steal.
So you do steal, but just little things?
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, everybody breaks that commandment, you know. But just
everybody?
I'm not sure.
I'm just going to take you through the Ten Commandments just to see if you're going to make it to heaven. This is the most important thing in the world, and if you'll just be patient with me, when we come out the other end, I think you're going to be appreciative of what we do, because there's nothing more important than where you're going to spend eternity, is there?
Yeah.
Okay, you think you're a good person?
Yeah.
Okay, are you familiar with the Ten Commandments?
Yes.
How many can you name?
That's kind of hard.
Okay, I'll name some of them for you. The seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Have you ever committed adultery?
No.
Okay, now Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery already with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes.
Okay, so
doesn't that mean if you're married?
No, it doesn't. You just look on any other woman and God can, you know, with sexual desire, and God considers that act of lust to be adultery. That's how serious it is. Have you ever hated somebody?
Yes.
The Bible actually says if you hate your brother, you're a murderer, because God's standards are much higher, infinitely higher than ours, and he sees the thought life. He sees the intents of your heart. So far, Ty, you're an adulterer in God's eyes and a murderer in his eyes, and you've already said that you've stolen things, so you're a thief. What about lying? Have you ever lied? How many lies have you told in your life?
Very plenty of lies.
Okay, now what about using God's name in vain? Have you ever done that?
Yes, I have.
Okay, have you always honored your parents? The fifth commandment says honor your father and mother. Have you always honored your parents?
Yes.
Well, I got to disagree with you because you've admitted you're a lying thief. And if in tomorrow's newspaper it was the headlined Ty found to be a lying thief, it's going to dishonor your parents. So your violation of those commandments has brought, you know, dishonor to their name. So here's a little summation. By your own admission, you're a lying thief, a blasphemer. You've used God's name in vain. You've dishonored your parents. You're a murderer and an adulterer at heart. So if God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Yes.
Guilty?
I think so.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
I guess hell.
Yeah, you're right. The Bible says all liars will end up in hell, and so will thieves and blasphemers and adulterers and murderers. So how are you going to be made innocent in God's sight? Because that's the only thing that's going to help you. You have to be made right in the sight of God. How are you going to balance the scales before the day of judgment? What are you going to do? Tell me.
By confessing before that day I die.
Well, confession really can't help you. It's like a criminal saying to the judge, I confess I committed the crime. The judge is going to say, okay, your confession is evidence of your guilt. You're in big trouble. So confession can't help you. There's two things that can help you. Let me share with you what they are. God provided a way for you to be proclaimed innocent. The Bible calls it justification. You know, a little kid's caught with his hand in the cookie jar and he tries to justify himself and say, Mom, I was hungry. He tries to justify his act. Mm-hmm. When you try and justify yourself, you're trying to make things right. Well, the Bible says God has made a way for you to be justified or made righteous in his sight or proclaimed innocent in his sight. And this is how he did it. 2,000 years ago, God became a man, Jesus of Nazareth. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned once, and then he gave his life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. Now, as a Catholic, you probably know that. But here's the difference. God is a judge. You violated his law. In his eyes, you're a criminal. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. All you can do is fling yourself on the mercy of the court and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And because Jesus suffered and died on the cross for you, he paid the fine for the law that you violated. That means God can legally dismiss your case. Your fine was paid by another. God can say, case dismissed. You can leave the courtroom. God can commute your death sentence, Ty. He can let you live because of the suffering, death, and a resurrection of the Savior. Now, there are two things you have to do to be saved, to be justified, to be made innocent in the sight of God. Here they are, and they're so important. The first thing is repentance. It's more than confession. It's actually a turning from your sins. It's where you say, God, I confess and I forsake my sins. No more fornication, sex out of marriage. No more lust, no more lying, no stealing. No more blasphemy. And you say, how can I do that? Well, the miracle of conversion is that God will create a new heart in you that longs to do what pleases him, and he'll give you the ability to do so through the power of the Holy Spirit. So repentance is the first thing you must do. And the second thing you have to do is put your trust in Jesus. It's more than a belief in him. You have to trust him with your eternal salvation. You know, when you get on a plane, you trust yourself to an unseen pilot. You don't see him, but you trust your life to his abilities. That's faith. Well, you've got to do that with your Savior for your eternal salvation. Okay? Now, do you think I'm telling you the truth?
Yeah.
Okay, it is the gospel truth. So if you died today, you go to hell. There are two things you have to be saved. You got to repent and trust in Jesus. When are you going to do that, Ty?
I don't know.
Well, when are you going to die?
I don't know.
That's right. That's why you need to trust Christ today. I mean, don't wait till tomorrow. You may not be here tomorrow. 150,000 people die every 24 hours. You could have an aneurysm in your sleep. You could be shot in the back, have a car accident, heart attack. And this, what we're talking about, is more serious than a heart attack. So would you please, please think about this?
Okay.
Now, just before you go, I got a friend who wants to say hi.
Hey, Ty, how do you do?
Good.
Hey, my name is Todd. Ty, what do you think about what that guy with the strange accent is saying?
I think he has a good point.
Yeah, you know what? Ty, how old are you?
I'm 28.
28. Ty, when I was younger than you, I was scared to die, too. I was really scared to die. And I think the reason was because I knew God was going to do something very bad to me because of the way that I had behaved, because of the way that I had lived. That's the thing that scared me the most.
Yeah.
Is that what scares you about dying too?
Yeah.
Dude, all we can do is beg you to think about what that fellow just said, because you don't have to be scared of death anymore. There is a way for you to be rescued. It's okay. Not it's not by working your way to heaven. It's not by doing good to get there, because you haven't done good. You've been bad, just like the rest of us. But God will save you because of what Jesus did for you. All of your sins forgiven. Don't confess them to a man in a box. Confess them directly to God. Say you're sorry and turn from them and put your trust in his son. And all of your sins, past, present, and future, will be forgiven. And you won't fear death anymore. And you'll love the Savior a lot because of what he's done for you. Okay, Ty?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Hey, we'll be praying for you, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Goodbye. Ray?
Yeah, Todd, it's really hard to tell a person's reaction by a few words on the phone.
When you can't see their face, it's even more difficult, which is why, you know, it's great to witness to somebody on the internet. I think it's swell. It's great to do it on the phone. That's fine. But it can be helpful to see if somebody, you know, they're fidgeting, they're looking like they just want to get out of there, tolerating you. I mean, there's some obvious stuff that you can be looking for, and it's very helpful when you're with them face to face. So with that, Ray, this guy leaves, and if you've never heard us do this before, no sinner's prayer, no card. Ray, you didn't even try to chase him down.
No, let him go, like Jesus did in Mark 10, verse 17.
Because?
Because salvation's of the Lord. I can't save a soul. All I can do is plant seed, and God's the one that saves.
It's Witness Wednesday. We're going to do some more street fishing here on Wretched Radio. If and you think there are assaults on biblical truth in the good old U.S. of A., oh, travel overseas. Those assaults do not stay inside of our borders. And that is why Dr. John MacArthur, leading the Master's Academy International mini seminaries all throughout the world in 17 different nations, equipping pastors to rightly divide the word, fill empty pulpits, and defend the truth.
The foundation of all ministry is having a firm grasp of the authority and inerrancy of Scripture. The age of tolerance in which we live has caused guys to soften their message, which means you eliminate certain things in Scripture or you soften the message. Young guys that are coming into the ministry need to reaffirm their commitment to the authority and power of Scripture.
Please support that effort through the Masters Academy International, wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
It's another day and another episode of Wretched Radio. Thank you so much for joining us here today. And listen, Road Trip to Truth, it's finally here. That's right, Road Trip to Truth is hosted by Millennial John Ferbarez, the son of Mike Ferbarez, and these episodes tackle tough issues that millennials struggle with. Subjects like, why is there evil in the world? Is Jesus really God? What about the supposed errors in the Bible? Is there really only one way to heaven? And many, many more. You know, the third leading cause of death among millennials is suicide. They're depressed, they're anxious, suicidal, and lost. And Road Trip to Truth is here to help you understand how to witness to this generation. Together, we can reach more and more people who are in desperate need of hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Road Trip to Truth, just one more reason to support Wretched. Visit wretched.org/donate today or text Wretched to 44321. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Not that we normally quote Joseph Stalin on Wretched, nevertheless, he rightly said the death of one man is a tragedy. The death of millions is a statistic. We have to be so careful that our Christian hearts don't grow cold when we hear the statistic that 1 million babies die every year from abortions. We need to remember that is one baby at a time. That is one mommy. That is one child. That is even one daddy.
My choice to become a mom and hear those little footsteps running down the hallway every morning is all because I had an ultrasound. It saved my life and hers.
Ultrasounds save lives, one baby at a time. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched for just $28 per ultrasound? Please help save one baby at a time. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Paul wrote the second letter to the Thessalonians to further encourage and instruct them in the face of persecution. Some Thessalonians feared that they had missed the Lord's return. Paul reminds them that God will punish those who persecute the church, and he will be faithful to return for his people.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's Witness Wednesday, and we're doing something that we haven't done for quite a while here at Wretched Radio, and that is street fishing, where phone fishers go out into, well, wherever they happen to live, and find a stranger and witness to them, which is exactly what you can do. Practice helps. Just find yourself a sinner and practice on them. Ray?
Yes, Todd.
That's exactly how you got started doing all of this, isn't it?
I started practicing what I preach.
But you literally, when you first discovered, hey, this use of the law business to convict a sinner of sin, righteousness, and judgment, it seems like all the old dead guys taught about that all the time. I think I'll go try it. And that's what you did, wasn't it?
Yes, I went and experimented on a guy. August 1982, and it was very, very cold, and I went to these thermal pools and sat down and waited for a sinner to sit next to me, and this man sat down, and I witnessed to him using the commandments. And he stood up there as a great steaming hulk of a man and said, I'd never heard that put so clearly in all my life. And it was like two lights went on, one in his head and one in mine.
Use the law to help people understand they're a sinner, which is part of the equation. They have to understand how holy God is and how sinful they are. And the law is such an efficient God-given way to help them realize that so that the cross makes sense. Speaking of the law, oh, lawman.
Sir, yes, sir.
Dude, good to hear your voice. Where are you, mister?
It's good to be heard. I am at the North Hollywood Metro Subway Station. North Hollywood is the arts district in the north area of the city of Los Angeles.
All righty, so do you have yourself a little fish or a big fish? I'm sorry.
Yes, her name is Erica. Erica is a photographer by trade, and I'll let her tell you more about that if she chooses to. She has a Christian background, believes that heaven and hell exist. And what we do in life, by and large, determines what happens next.
All righty, let's give it a go, shall we? Mr. Company, okay. You ready to go?
Mr. I was a little nervous at first, Ray. Mr. Todd.
Fidgety Pants.
No, I was a little nervous. Hello. How you doing, Erica?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Are you from Los Angeles area?
I am, so I've heard.
And you're a photographer?
Yep. So they tell me.
So how long have you been doing that?
Since I came out the womb.
You're kidding.
For some reason, controversy likes to find me.
How old are you, Erica?
I stopped at 25. I'm just going to get taller.
So, do you remember when photography was, when it wasn't digital?
I do, the 35 millimeter.
Did you develop your own films in a dark room?
I still do.
You're kidding.
It brings back the personalization of it.
Isn't it magic to see those negatives turn to positives underwater and just manifest in about 30 or 40 seconds. I used to love watching that.
Exactly. You know what? It brings back the beauty of it all.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So you believe in God's existence?
I do.
Why?
You know, I believe that life is what each and every one of us make of it, and everyone is entitled to their own beliefs and their own aspects of just being able to believe in something else.
But why would you believe in God's existence? If I said I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God, would you try and convince me? And if you would, how would you convince me that God exists? Because you can't see
him. I wouldn't try to convince you, because convincing you is something, you know, that really, really and truly people lose sight of the aspect of really knowing that they need to find things within themselves. And it's until you realize something or find something or, you know, realize, like, the beauty of believing in it, then that's when you're really going to find it. But trying to convince another person is like trying to take away from their belief. So it's about meeting people in the middle.
Okay. What say I said to you, Erica, I want your help. I've got 3 minutes to live. Someone stuck a knife in my back. I'm bleeding to death. 3 minutes to live. How can I get to heaven? What would you tell me if I asked you?
You know what? I can't tell you how to get to heaven, but I could tell you that this is the last 3 minutes of your life, and know in your heart what you want to believe before you go.
Do you know what the Bible says about that? It says you actually can know. It says you can know if you're going to heaven or not. You can know what's in the afterlife. And did you realize
that?
That's what the Bible says?
That is very true. That is very true.
Do you ever read the Bible?
But which Bible are you talking about? Because these days, it's kind of like the digital camera that everybody has their own model.
Yeah, there's Bibles for the Chinese. There's Bibles for the Japanese and the Russian. They're in their own languages. There's English versions. There are American versions. And so it's understandable to everybody, so we're thankful that there are different versions for us. So, Erica, do you think you're a good person?
I do.
So is that how you're going to make it to heaven, because you're a good person?
I'm going to make it to heaven because I am one with what I believe in, and I'm one with the aspect of God.
Okay, so are you a good person?
I am a good person.
Okay, now I'm going to put that to the test. Can you handle that? I'm going to take you through some of the Ten Commandments.
Only if you can handle that.
Yeah, I could. I'd love to do it. Erica, how many lies have you told in your life?
I don't know.
You lost count?
You know, it's not so much that I lost count. It's more along the lines of sometimes people don't realize that they're doing things until it happens.
Yeah.
But it's taking accountability and acknowledging what you've done and fixing it from there on. So people do things and don't realize it, but it's taking accountability when you do.
Okay, well, let's see if you can take accountability. What do you call someone who tells lies?
Again, it's more along the lines of if they've acknowledged what they're doing or if they're doing it for habit.
It rhymes with fire and begins with L, Erica.
Other people that try to convince them that just makes them veer more for in their own belief what they're doing.
Erica?
So again, you have to realize things for yourself.
Erica, it rhymes with fire and begins with L.
It rhymes with fire and begins with L?
Yeah. It's liar. That's what you call someone who tells lies.
What?
Erica, if you tell lies, the right word is liar for someone who tells lies.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the second question. Have you ever stolen something in your life?
You know what? That is a good question. And it falls along the lines of the simplicity in life. Sometimes people do things that they don't realize that they've done.
Erica!
I could honestly say I've never done that intentionally.
So you have stolen something.
I may have walked out with a pin from a hotel here and there, but other than that, I got a clean slate.
Okay. What do you call someone who steals things?
Uninhibited of the aspect of...
Erica, stop this! They're called a thief. If you steal things, you're called a thief. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
No.
That's
I
great.
I correct people when I hear it and tell them to add the SH on it instead.
Now, Jesus said if you look with lust, you commit adultery in the heart. Have you ever looked at someone with lust?
No.
Okay. Have you always honored your parents?
I sure have.
Okay. Have you ever
hated... Every single minute of the day.
Have you ever hated somebody?
No, because when you hate somebody, that just means that you just felt
murder
let them get
heart.
You. And you can't... You're turning yourself into an ugly person by letting somebody get to you that much that you think that negative of a thought.
Okay, Erica, one more for you. Have you kept
You're probably like, this girl's boring.
No, have you kept...
I got to interrupt this. I like you, Erica. I'm listening to this. I'm sitting in a studio, and I just want to add my two cents. I like you, Erica.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks a lot, Todd. I really needed that.
I just like her. She's zesty, and I like that.
Well, take her home.
I'm zesty.
Well, you are zesty. You're kind of feisty. That's maybe a better word. You're feisty.
You know what? You got to keep people on their toes. Life's
okay, Mrs. Feisty. Mrs. Feisty, we've got 2.5 minutes. Have you kept the first of the Ten Commandments?
Offhand, I don't remember them in order, but I can honestly say that I have.
Okay, you know what it is? It's to put God...
Like I said, I can honestly say I don't remember them in order, but I can...
Yeah. Okay, Erica, this is what it is.
I know that I have.
Erica?
Yes.
It's to put God first, to love Him with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Have you always put God first? You have?
That I have.
Well, the Bible... Now, listen, Erica. Erica, I need you to listen for a second, okay?
Okay.
The Bible says there is none that seek after God. There is none that understands. Nobody has kept the first of the Ten Commandments. So either you are lying or God is lying. Okay?
No.
So who's lying, you or God? And it's impossible for God to lie.
Well, you want to know something? It's like I said, the Bible has something for everybody. So that may be, and that's an in general opinion of it. How you look at the Bible and how you view it and what you take in from it, God and you are on the page from that.
So okay, Todd, you got 1 minute, 17 seconds.
Way
to go, Todd.
Erica?
Yes.
I think you've been an absolute hoot.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, let me just ask the first question that the guy with the funny accent asked, okay?
Yeah.
All right, now, muster up 10 seconds of serious for me. Are you ready?
Okay, I'll try.
All right. Are you sure you are so good that when you die, God is going to say, Erica, come on in. You have not broken a single commandment.
You want to know something?
Yeah.
I don't know that he will say that, but I know that he will say that you have followed your heart and followed what's true to you and as well what is true to his word. And again, it's taking accountability for who you are in life and who you are as a person.
I understand that sentiment, but if he is a just judge, intentions aren't going to be very helpful. The question isn't, well, have sure you followed are. Your heart, but have you followed his laws?
You know what? I have.
Perfectly.
Have you?
No, I've wrecked it real bad.
You've wrecked it? See, but you know what? It's taking accountability for your actions.
Doesn't help me either, because I can be a criminal before the judge and say, Judge, I've really blown it, but I've taken account for my actions. I've really taken responsibility.
Well,
he'd say,
that.
Well,
like, it's,
too bad.
It's more than that, because, you know what? People lose sight on the simple things, and people oftentimes get so caught up on the things that they have done that it's like you have to give yourself credit if you're, you know, trying to lead yourself in the right direction. Grant you, no one
Erica,
is above anybody
you,
else.
Erica,
anybody
do you
else
think there's anything that we could
him?
Possibly say that would convince you that you need help?
You know, I would honestly say no, because I help other people.
All right. Hey, Erica.
Hey.
You have a great day, okay?
Thank you. You too.
Goodbye.
John 3:16.
I agree completely. Goodbye. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. A Louisiana man who admitted to burning down three predominantly African-American churches to promote himself as a black metal musician was sentenced Monday to 25 years in prison in order to pay the churches $2.6 million. U.S. District Judge Robert Summerhays of Lafayette sentenced Holden Matthews, giving the 23-year-old man credit for 18 months he's already spent in jail. Matthews had shown interest in black metal, an extreme subgenre of heavy metal, according to authorities. The music has been linked in some instances to fires at Christian churches in Norway. Matthews told the judge, pastors, and congregations of the three Baptist churches that he was deeply sorry and wanted them to know that he had recovered his faith in God. He's pled guilty to both state and federal charges. Summerhays says that when Matthews is sentenced in state court, the judge may order the sentence to be served at the same time as the federal one. Matthews pled guilty in federal court to three counts of violating the Church Arson Prevention Act and to one of using fire to commit a federal felony. Summerhays ordered him to pay $1.1 million in restitution to Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church, $970,213.30 to Greater Union Baptist Church, and $590,246 to St. Missionary Baptist Church. All three were burned down over 10 days in March and April of 2019. The churches were empty at the time of the fires, and no one was injured. Well, Colorado voters have rejected a measure that would have banned abortions after 22 weeks of gestation, except when there is a life-threatening medical emergency for the mother. Proposition 115, also known as the 22-week abortion ban, was defeated on Tuesday with about 59% of the voters voting against the measure and nearly 41% voting in favor. In June, the pro-life campaign Due Date Too Late gathered enough signatures to place Initiative 120, later named Proposition 115, on the November ballot. The initiative was in response to the state legislature defeating two bills that would have banned late-term abortions and mandated medical care for babies born alive during the procedure. Last month, the American Politics Research Lab at the University of Colorado released a survey finding that 45% of voters opposed Proposition 115, while 41% supported the proposition. 14% were unsure. In addition to pro-choice critics, Colorado Right to Life also denounced Proposition 115, arguing in a statement posted to its website in September that the measure was the latest in the nearly 50-year effort to regulate murder. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Trish is in Texas, and Trish is in a mall. What better place to fish than that? Hey, Trish.
Well, I wish I was in a mall because it would be about, I don't know, 40, 50 degrees cooler.
You're outside of the mall.
Oh, yeah. And I'm standing in the shade with a nice young girl that is totally willing to be on the air. She's been standing out here for a while, and so this is great.
All right. What's the name of this young lady?
Imagery.
Rosalinda, and she's 20 years old. She's a student. I didn't ask you, what do you do, Rosalinda? What are you going to school for? She works at 7-Eleven. What are you going to school for? Getting her associates in business. She's out here at the theater waiting for a blind date.
But it's, wow. I'm beginning to think he stood her up. You know what?
That's compassionate, though, Tom.
He hasn't ever appeared. Poor Rosalinda. But anyway,
well, he's blind.
She says, no, he'll be here.
She can't find her.
Okay, sorry.
But Rosalinda, you guys, is she says she's Christian. And, you know, I asked her if she was to die tonight, where she would go. Right away, she put her finger up, you know, towards heaven and said to heaven. And I said, you know, if God were to, you know, why would he let you in? Can you explain to me why would you get to heaven? And she said, well, I haven't committed any of the seven deadly sins. So I said, well, that's good. You haven't killed anybody, huh? And she goes, no. So she believes she'll get to heaven because she's pretty good person. God will let her in that way.
And that was a sign that she's Rosalinda's Roman Catholic. All right. Rosalinda?
Yeah.
Hello. I want you to meet a fellow. Now you're gonna have to put up with a strange accent, okay? Because he's from New Zealand. So
okay.
Do your best with the accent. Ray, meet Rosalinda.
Rosalinda, how you doing?
Hello.
So you work at 7-Eleven?
I did.
You did? And you survived?
I got fired yesterday.
Oh really? Hey. 7 deadly sins. What are they? I don't know what they are. I'm not Roman Catholic. Can you name them for me?
No.
You don't even know what they are, and you said you haven't broken them.
It's like thou shalt not steal, kill, commit adultery, honor thy mother and father, don't covet thy neighbor, like all those things.
So you're talking about the Ten Commandments. They're not deadly sins. They're just the Ten Commandments.
Well, whatever. The Ten Commandments.
Hey, I got a question for you. I'd like to know your opinion on this. Are you going to make it to heaven?
I hope so.
You hope so? Are you a good person?
Mm-hmm.
Can you handle going through some of those commandments to see if you are good? Let's go through some of the Ten Commandments to see if you're going to make it to heaven, because there's nothing more important than that. You don't want to end up in hell, do you?
No.
Okay. We're going to go through some of the commandments, and I trust that you can understand my accent, all right?
Yes.
How many lies have you told in your life?
Oh, too many to count.
So you've lost count.
I try not to lie, but as a kid, I lied a lot. But now that I'm an adult, I don't lie.
Okay, and we can believe you when you say that?
Yeah.
Okay, now what do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever stolen anything in your life, even if it's small?
I got caught for stealing once when I was 10,
7-11.
And I never stole again.
Okay, now what do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
No.
Okay, that's great. Jesus said if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at a guy with lust, sexual desire?
No.
You got a pure heart?
Yep.
Are you smiling?
No, I've been married since I was 15.
So, have you ever in your life looked at a guy with lust? Anytime?
I never looked at a guy like, oh, I want to have sex with him, no.
Well, that's commendable. You're one of the first people on the earth that I've met that's done that, and I really admire you for that. Okay.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Have you ever hated somebody?
Yeah, I mean, I've had strong, bad feelings, but
okay.
I don't think I'd hate them.
Have you been close to hating somebody?
Yes.
Okay, because the Bible says if you hate someone, you commit murder in your heart.
Yeah.
What we're doing, Rosalinda, is looking at God's standards. He's perfect. He sees your thought life. And his standards are infinitely higher than ours. He considers lust to be adultery, hatred to be murder. If you've lied, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. In fact, God proclaims the death sentence upon liars. That's how serious lying is in his sight. So, as a lying thief, by your own admission, and someone who's been very close to being a murderer at heart, on the day of judgment, do you think you're going to be innocent or guilty?
Well, I've already been baptized and saved after I did all those things. So since I've been baptized and saved, I've not done any of those things, so I think I'd be innocent.
How do you get saved?
How did I get saved?
Yeah, I mean, if I said to you, Rosalinda, I want to get saved, what would you say to me?
I would tell you to pray and ask God for forgiveness.
Anything else?
I don't know.
Well, this is so important. You've got to know. This is where you're going to spend eternity. Rosalinda, if you die in your sins and God gives you justice, you'd end up in hell. And that's a scary thing to happen. And so let me share some thoughts with you that are so important, and I just want you to chew them over, okay?
before you start, I'm sorry. I don't want to be insulted.
No, you won't be insulted. No, this is some good news for you, okay? You're not going to be insulted, so just be patient with me.
Okay, well, when you say lying thief by your own admission, that kind of insults me.
Yeah, but it's by your own admission. I didn't say you're a lying thief. You're the one that did. I was agreeing with you. Okay, so I wouldn't judge you.
About the past.
I'm talking about the past.
You asked me, have I ever done these things?
Yeah, that's true.
And you're saying a thief and a liar as in present tense. Those are past tense.
In your book or in God's book?
In God's book, because I've been saved. I've been born again.
Okay. Well, if that's true, there's something that you've missed out that's very, very important. Do you know what it is?
No.
You forgot to mention Jesus dying on the cross. And that makes me nervous for your salvation, because if you've really been born again, every day you'd say, I thank you, God, for the cross. I thank you for what Jesus did. And you forgot to mention it, which tells me there's something not quite right about your salvation. Because remember, if you're familiar with the Bible, if you're saved, you've been born again, you're water baptized, you'll know that Matthew 7:21 says this: many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, and you'll say, depart from me, you worker of lawlessness, I never knew you. And there are a lot of people who say, I'm a Christian, but their lives don't match it. So Jesus suffered and died on the cross for your sins. He took your punishment. Do you understand that?
Yep.
So you'd forgotten about that part?
I guess so.
Yeah. When did you last read your Bible, Rosalinda?
I don't remember.
A week ago, a month ago, a year ago?
No, I was made to read the Bible as a kid, so I don't read the Bible anymore.
Okay, well, that's what the problem is, because if you're a Christian, you will love God's Word and you'll rejoice at God's Word as one that finds great spoil. What would you think of a woman who wrote a love note to a husband and he says, I don't read love notes from my wife. I'm not interested. You'd say, hey, something's wrong. You know, if you love her, you want to see what she wants, you know, what she wants to say to you. So Jesus died on the cross for you, took your punishment, rose again on the third day. What you have to do, Rosalinda, is not just confess your sins, you've got to repent and trust in Him. And then you can have your sins forgiven. Then you can say it's all past. But until there's genuine conversion, you can have no assurance of your salvation. And I would hate you to cry out to Jesus, Lord, Lord, on the day of judgment, and for you to hear His words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Todd, would you like to talk to Rosalinda?
Hey, Rosalinda, how are you doing?
I'm a little annoyed.
Are you kind of bothered with Him?
Yes.
Yeah, what part's bothering you?
His sarcasm.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, sarcasm is a sin, too.
Yeah, it's because he's from New Zealand, I think, is his problem.
Oh, okay.
Besides the sarcasm, what did you think about what he said? Did you think he was right?
I mean, yeah, but the way he comes off to tell people about it is wrong.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the first questions he asked you, Rosalinda, was if you think that you're a good person. Do you think you're a good person?
I do.
Yeah. And so there was nothing he said that would challenge that or convince you otherwise?
Nobody's going to change my opinion.
Okay. All right, Rosalinda, then I won't try to do that. Thank you very much for being with us, okay? We sure do appreciate you.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye, Rosalinda.
Bye.
Bye. Ray?
Well, I wish you'd said that in the beginning. No one's going to change my opinion.
Well, no, not one of us can, but God can.
That's
you sarcastic little Kiwi, you.
I can't think where I was sarcastic.
I don't. Yeah, honestly, Ray.
Yeah.
This is my little sitting on the bench watching the game happen. She has a lot of pride.
Yeah.
If a Christian, a truly born again Christian, will go, ho 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 ho, man with the funny accent, I'm way worse than you could even know. Let me tell you how bad I am. But I'll tell you about Jesus, that he died to forgive me of all of those sins. Until somebody realizes that they have sin and that they are bad, they definitely have pride, and God's not going to save them. And that's why they have to be humbled, and their mouth has to be stopped with the law. So, Ray, she called you sarcastic. I think you were just doing what you needed to do.
Yeah, and everyone who is proud of heart is an abomination to the Lord. So we need to pray for her that she will soften her heart. And open her heart to the things of God, and then start reading His Word. She doesn't read the Scriptures.
Yeah, something isn't right. If you're a Christian and you never read the Bible, you never hunger and thirst for the Word, you don't sound at all like somebody from Psalm 119. A Christian, a born-again believer, hungers and thirsts for the Word. And if you don't, something is terribly wrong. Ray, this has been jolly good fun.
Jolly good.
Sarcastic manual. This is Wretched Radio. If and you think there are assaults on biblical truth in the good old U.S. of A., oh, travel overseas. Those assaults do not stay inside of our borders, and that is why Dr. John MacArthur, leading the Master's Academy International mini-seminaries all throughout the world in 17 different nations, equipping pastors to rightly divide the Word, fill empty pulpits, and defend the truth.
The foundation of all ministry is having a firm grasp of the authority and inerrancy of Scripture. The age of tolerance in which we live has caused guys to soften their message, which means you eliminate certain things in Scripture or you soften the message. Young guys that are coming into the ministry need to reaffirm their commitment to the authority and power of Scripture.
Please support that effort through the Master's Academy International, wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
It's another day and another episode of Wretched Radio. Thank you so much for joining us here today. And listen, Road Trip to Truth, it's finally here. That's right, Road Trip to Truth is hosted by Millennial John Fabares, the son of Mike Fabares, and these episodes tackle tough issues that millennials struggle with. Subjects like, why is there evil in the world? Is Jesus really God? What about the supposed errors in the Bible? Is there really only one way to heaven? And many, many more. You know, the third leading cause of death among millennials is suicide. They're depressed, they're anxious, suicidal, and lost. And Road Trip to Truth is here to help you understand how to witness to this generation. Together, we can reach more and more people who are in desperate need of hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Road Trip to Truth, just one more reason to support Wretched. Visit wretched.org/donate today or text Wretched to 44321. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Not that we normally quote Joseph Stalin on Wretched, nevertheless, he rightly said the death of one man is a tragedy. The death of millions is a statistic. We have to be so careful that our Christian hearts don't grow cold when we hear the statistic that 1 million babies die every year from abortions. We need to remember that is one baby at a time. That is one mommy. That is one child. That is even one daddy.
My choice to become a mom and hear those little footsteps running down the hallway every morning is all because I had an ultrasound. It saved my life and hers.
Ultrasounds save lives, one baby at a time. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched for just $28 per ultrasound? Please help save one baby at a time. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. God is omniscient, meaning He knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. God does not learn new information, and nothing takes Him by surprise. He knows what will happen and is working all things for His glory and the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is like Back to the Future. This is Wretched Radio. We are having ourselves a Witness Wednesday. Like we used to do. We used to have the phone fishers go every place with their cell phones because that's all it takes to witness to somebody these days, and we'd witness to them just like we're doing right now. Lawman, where are you, sir?
Here, sir.
Hey, dude.
I'm still at the North Hollywood Metro Station.
Gotta love the Metro Station. You gotta be prepared, though, to witness very quickly at a Metro Station.
You should go to my blog and see what happened last Friday night. Oh, my. The only thing that didn't happen was that pieces of dead cat were not thrown at me.
So you weren't blessed.
Yes, the blessing was limited.
Yeah, who was it? Was that like Newton or Spurgeon or somebody?
I think it was Whitfield.
Was it Whitfield?
I think it was Whitfield.
Yeah, I had the blessing of having a piece of dead cat a frying pan and an anvil thrown at me. How funny. All right, dude, who are you standing
never
there with?
Never bring a dead cat to a gunfight. That's all I'm saying.
That's a good tip.
I am with Sam, and Sam is short for Samantha. She's 16, and she's sitting here with her friend Chris. They just got out of school at North Hollywood High. Sam considers herself to be a Christian and a good person. I asked her if I only had 3 minutes to live, and I wasn't a Christian, what she would tell me. And, well, she basically said it's a little too late for me.
Well, there's been rumors about that anyway, but that's a different subject.
Wow.
Now, that doesn't mean that just because she can articulate it quickly, we do have to allow that maybe she just hasn't quite been able to put it together yet. But with asking proper questions, she might be able to go, oh, yes, that's exact. Oh, yes. Now that you, yes, that's been very helpful. That is a possibility, correct?
It is correct, but I don't think that's going to be the case here.
All righty, then. Let's find out together, shall we?
Okay. All right. Here you go.
Oh, 16-year-old girl. You're
talking to Todd. Hi, Todd.
Hello, Sam. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Tell me something you learned in school today.
I don't know. We didn't really we didn't do book work. We watched a movie today.
What movie?
All Quiet on the Western Front.
Why'd you watch that?
I don't know. I think we're learning about that, but not really, though.
Was that World War One or World War Two?
I'm not sure. I think one.
Okay, Sam. Now I'm gonna give you a quiz. Okay, you didn't have a quiz today, I presume, correct?
Right.
All right. Now I'm gonna give you a quiz, but the good news is you have already been informed about this quiz. So this is not a pop quiz. The guy that you were talking to before with the mustache,
right?
He said, "Okay, you're a Christian. Help me out. Give me the gospel in 3 minutes. I'm going to ask you the exact same question. Now, you've had some time to think about it. All right, so go, Sam. Give me the gospel.
Well, he didn't ask me that. I wouldn't know how to give you the gospel in 3 minutes.
How does somebody become a Christian, Sam?
Well, I mean, I think becoming a Christian, if you haven't been raised a Christian, I think it would be a lot longer process than 3 minutes. I mean, you have to, you know, go through the whole thing of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I think the whole process would take a lot more than 3 minutes.
Sam, could you explain to me what that means? What does it mean to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Well, to understand that he died for your sins and that he sacrificed his own life to save you and everything.
Okay. And why did he do that?
I don't know. Out of the kindness of his heart.
I could go for that.
I'm not sure.
All right. Why did we need that to happen? Why did we need Jesus, God himself, to die for us?
I'm not sure, really. I mean, I just think it taught everyone a lesson that, you know, that you should die for, you know, you shouldn't, like, believe in something else, or say you believe in something else just so you don't die.
So it was an example?
Yeah.
Okay, Sam, I'm going to turn the tables, okay?
Okay.
I think I can share it with you in 3 minutes or less, okay?
Okay.
Sam, would you consider yourself to be a good person?
I think so.
I'm going to give you a test to see if you are, okay?
Well, I don't know. Okay.
Here's test question number one. Taken from the Ten Commandments, this one would be number 9. How many lies do you think you've told in your life, Sam?
Oh, wow. I'm not sure.
But you've told them, right?
I can't remember, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. So if you've told lies, what does that make you? What type of person am I if I tell lies? You would call me a?
A liar.
Correct, madam. So you're a lying good person. Is that correct, Sam?
Right, I'm a liar.
Alrighty. And how many things have you stolen in your life? Not necessarily from a store, from your parents, from your siblings. You've just taken something that didn't belong to you.
Well, I guess a couple times.
Okay, so what does that make you?
A thief.
There you go. So you're a lying, thieving good person. Is that correct? I got 2 minutes to go. Okay, how many times do you think you've taken God's name in vain? You've used God's name in a bad way.
Oh, I don't do that.
But have you ever done it?
No.
Ever?
I'm against that. My mom told me not to.
All right. Speaking of your mom, did you ever do anything that your mom didn't tell you to do, or you did something that she told you not to do?
Oh, no.
So in other words, have you ever been a naughty child?
I guess I have, yeah.
Okay, so you dishonored mom and dad. You know, that's a commandment, too. You're supposed to honor your father and mother.
Right.
Okay. And has God always been the thing that you've loved more than anything else your whole life?
Huh?
Has God always been the thing that you've loved more than anything else in your whole life?
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, I would think it'd be hard to measure love. I wouldn't know how to.
But it's probably not. When we desire other things, or even when we commit any sin, we demonstrate that we love ourselves and we love our sin more than we love God. Okay, Sam, I don't want you to answer this one because it would be inappropriate, but I just want you to know what Jesus said. Jesus said, "You've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say, if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart." So his standard for judging whether we're innocent or guilty is even the thought life. So Sam, you die, you stand before God, the books are open, he knows that you're a liar, you're a thief, that you have committed idolatry by not loving him, you've dishonored your parents, and maybe your thought life has not been pure. Sam, would you be innocent or guilty?
Well, I'd probably be considered guilty, but the way I was raised, my parents told me, as long as you believe in God and believe in everything that is God, then, you know, and you truly are sorry for what you've done, for what you've sinned for, and you know, you really do regret it and everything, and I mean, I think there's still a chance for people.
Well, Sam, let me put it this way. There's actually more than a chance for people. There's a sure hope for people. Here's the situation. Mm-hmm. You said that maybe Jesus died as an example to demonstrate how to live or how to live for something greater. Here's why Jesus died on a cross. Because the Bible says that when people break his laws, he is angry. His wrath is filling up like a cup with drips of water going into it. It's filling up with wrath. And one of these days, that cup is going to overflow, and he is going to pour out his wrath on everybody who breaks his laws, which is everybody, including you. Even though you're 16, you've done plenty of sinning. And so God has got his wrath poured out, aiming right at Sam. But he's good, and he's kind, and he's merciful, and he's a loving God, and he sent his son to take the wrath that you deserve by dying on a cross, taking the beating that you deserve. He was spit on. They put that crown of thorns on his head. They whipped his back. He took the punishment that you deserve so that the wrath of God could be satisfied because of what he did on a cross for you, Sam. That's why Jesus died on a cross. And if you will respond by the biblical word is repenting, saying you're sorry and turning from your sins and putting your trust in Jesus, the Bible says if you'll repent and trust the Savior and him alone, the Bible says that God will forgive all of Sam's sins, grant her everlasting life, and she will go to heaven for sure, beyond the shadow of a doubt, because his word promises if you come unto him in repentance and faith, he will not cast you out. He will forgive you because of what Jesus did. Sam, that was a little more than 3 minutes, but that's the gospel right there. That's it, right there.
Okay.
Here's my question for you, Sam. Have your sins been forgiven because you've repented and put your trust in Jesus?
I don't know if they've been forgiven. I don't know if I'd want to be forgiven for, some things I've done, some things I don't regret.
That were wrong?
Yeah, that were wrong.
Sam, let me leave you with a thought today, okay? This is really important. You're a young lady, and you're old enough to ponder these things. The Bible makes it clear, if you don't come to Jesus completely surrendering, saying, I ask you for forgiveness for all of my sins, I turn from all of my sins, he won't save you, because it demonstrates you love your sins more than the Savior. And until you're ready to turn from your sins and put your trust in him and him alone, he can't save you, because he can't let somebody into heaven who still loves their sins more than him. So all I would ask you to do today, Sam, is just think about these things. Would you do that?
Yes, I would.
That's all I can ask you to do. You're a lady. I sure do appreciate your time. Please ponder this today because it's so important, okay?
Okay.
Hey, Sam, thanks for the time.
Oh, no problem.
All right, good day.
All right, good day.
And you too. You think about it too if you've never done that. And until tomorrow, serve your king.